Welcome to a bonus episode of the English Sessions. Gerund vs. Gerundio with Andrea from Spanish Land School. I am your host and English teacher, Mike Butler. These podcasts can help you improve your English. Together, we will talk about grammar, pronunciation, structure, and have some fun, too. Remember to visit my website, EnglishSessionsWithMike.com, to contact me for private lessons and for more content. Listen for this word today, phenomenal. Synonyms for phenomenal are exceptional, extraordinary, remarkable, outstanding, amazing. Today's episode is for advanced English learners. It is about a topic that confuses many learners who are native Spanish speakers. It is about the differences between the English gerund in English grammar and the Spanish gerundio in Spanish grammar. We discuss the differences between the two and why we should consider gerund to be a false friend. A false friend is a word or expression that has a similar form to one in a person's native language, but a different meaning. If you are not a native Spanish speaker, you may still want to listen to this episode. The same differences in translation may apply to your language as well, especially if you also speak a Latin-based language. I thought of another reason to listen to our interview. Perhaps you want to learn Spanish as well as English. Andrea is a phenomenal educator. She has helped me with my Spanish a lot. Make sure to go to SpanishLandSchool.com to learn more about Andrea and her Spanish learning resources. Also, make sure to go to Patreon.com/TheEnglishSessions. Why? Because there you can find the video of my interview with Andrea, as well as much more bonus content, and audio transcripts to recent episodes. In the video, you can see both of us and have some visual aids to help you with the lesson, including pictures and some notes I took for the lesson. Here is my interview with Andrea from Spanish Land School. Thank you so much. Today, we have a special treat. I have Andrea from the Spanish Land School here to talk with us about the English gerund and the Spanish gerundio. Mm-hmm. And can you please introduce yourself and tell us about the Spanish Land School?
Yeah, thank you for having me. Hi, everybody. I'm so happy to be here today. We have a Spanish Academy online. We teach Spanish for intermediate and advanced students. I am from Colombia. My husband is from the US. We have been doing this for like almost 5 years now. So we have a YouTube channel and a podcast, like you said, Spanish Land School podcast. Those are 10-minute episodes where we teach different things about the grammar, Spanish grammar, expressions, words, slang. And then we also have another podcast where we just talk. That's what we do. I love teaching Spanish, and the grammar is very interesting, very complex. So I enjoy talking about it.
What city from Colombia are you from?
Well, not a lot of people know about that city.
Oh, okay.
Bucaramanga.
Bucaramanga.
Yeah, okay. You probably have not heard.
I haven't. One. I spent a whole month in Colombia years back.
Where did you go?
Medellin, Cartagena, mm-hmm. and Bogota. Of course. Primarily, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, those are the three cities that everybody know about.
Yeah.
But then my city is like number 5 in the list.
Okay.
But okay. It's like 7 hours from Medellin.
Okay. I have such fond memories of Medellin. What a beautiful city.
Beautiful place. Mm-hmm.
So I want to tell you that your two podcasts, 10-Minute Spanish Tips and Españolistos, no kidding, are my favorite Spanish learning podcasts. In fact, I did not know for a while that you were behind both of them.
Oh,
just coincidentally,
really?
They were my two favorite, the ones that helped me the most. Though yours and the Duolingo Spanish one is great too.
Yeah.
But that I didn't know for a while that you were behind both of those.
Yeah. We started the Españolistos one first, like 5 years ago. And then the other one, the 10-minute one about grammar, we've been doing that for like 3 years now.
Españolistos is so helpful for me because I can really embody Nate. Nate is your partner that you talk with mm-hmm. on the podcast. And my favorite part is when he's practicing his Spanish and you help him. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I need. And so I kind of live vicariously through him in those moments. It's very helpful.
Yeah, thank you. It's very interesting because I think people really like that format where he is the student and I am the teacher. So yeah, every time he makes a mistake, I'm constantly correcting him. So people always say how they feel identified with Nate and that it helps when I correct him. So yeah, it's fun doing the podcast and
That's fantastic. And so for today, our topic is about the gerund and gerundio. I have a lot to say about it. And I reached out to you because I've been reluctant to cover this topic because it is about Spanish as well. And I'm not a native Spanish speaker. So I want to explain for my audience, this is for advanced English learners. Today, there will not be an audio transcript, and it's primarily for native Spanish speakers who are learning English, but I've found in my research that this issue with the gerund / gerundio, it seems to also be the same issue with other languages, especially Latin-based languages, similar issues with trying to translate, the equivalent of this term into English.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, I've noticed that because we have students from Brazil and like France or Canada, people that speak French. Mm. And they always get confused. So yeah, I think it's very similar to what it happens in Spanish. This is a complex topic, but we'll do our best to explain it in the best way.
Yeah. So that's why I do think this could help some folks who aren't just Spanish speakers.
Yes.
And perhaps some folks who want to learn Spanish and can learn with your resources.
Yeah, sure.
Speaking of resources, before I forget, is it okay with you if I use this video on my Patreon account?
Yeah, sure.
My Patreon supporters. Great.
And
at one point, I'll share my screen as well so everyone can look at my notes.
Yeah, that would be great.
I wanted to start with some of my episodes of the English sessions that I recommend listening to for anyone interested in this. Yeah, why don't I just share my screen right now? Share screen. Okay. The first one is my episode about the basics of the gerund. And as anyone listening to this may already know, in English, the gerund is that ing ending that functions like a noun, right? It's not all of the ing endings, is what I often have to explain to my students. So that's the first episode I would suggest listening to. Perhaps even pause this and go and listen to that. That's the gerund basics. I'm also recommending specifically my episode about the preposition to because a lot of the confusion comes from this, as you probably know, Andrea, because in English, to is a preposition, but it's also part of the infinitive form.
Yes. Right? Yes.
Yeah. And I think it's not clear to many learners when it's the infinitive and when it's the infinitive marker and when it's the preposition.
Yeah, that's a confusion that I notice in our students. Our students speak English and they're learning Spanish. Mainly they are from the U.S. When they say, they always want to translate that's their confusion. They always want to translate the preposition to as a or para or even de. And you don't always have to translate it into Spanish. So, yeah, it's very interesting.
That's helpful for me. I appreciate that. And then episode 24 is the infinitive basics. And we're going to, at some point in my notes here, look at a practice exercise from this episode. And then this is an important one. I did an entire episode about how stop plus gerund has a very different meaning compared to stop plus infinitive. As I'm sure you very well know, too. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'd like to read something from one of these episodes. And then I'd like for you to just confirm with me, as a native Spanish speaker, that this is true. I'd hate to be ignorant here. So I have this, I say, me gusta nadar, can translate to, I like to swim or I like swimming. How am I doing so far, Andrea?
Great. Okay. No, that's exactly right.
Swim.
That's true. Actually, sorry to interrupt, but I would say, like that's the thing. Like English speakers, they say, I like swimming. But when we think in Spanish, it makes more sense that it is, I like to swim, right? Because that's the thing. Then people think, oh, me gusta nadando, right? Which is wrong.
Right, that's what I wrote here. Okay.
You look in the dictionary, it says nadar equals to swim, not swimming. Yeah.
Okay, so you just confirmed this as well. Me gusta nadando is incorrect. That's confusing to say. Right. Yes. And all right. And I hope this is clicking in our learners' minds now why this is such an issue. Let me finish this part. Swimming is the gerund in English, so it fits in this sentence. I like swimming because in English, the gerund functions like a noun and creates noun phrases. However, the gerundio refers to words in Spanish that end in ando and yendo. Is that correct, Andrea?
Yes, yes. And let me add something there. For those that are maybe learning Spanish, the only time that you're going to translate a verb that ends in ing in English, the only time that you're going to translate it as, you know, like nadando or comiendo with the ending ando or yendo, is if you have it in a sentence where that verb is after the verb estar, like I am swimming, estoy nadando, I am eating, estoy comiendo. That's the only time where it translates as ando or endo, when you have a continuous action happening.
Yes.
The rest of the time, anytime you have ing ending, I have some rules here that I'll share later. It has to be the infinitive.
Yes. Okay. Fantastic. Fantastic. Okay. They are used as endings of words that are action verbs in the continuous form. Yes, that's what you said. Mm-hmm. Despite there being a similar term in both English and Spanish, these words are used to define two different things. Mm-hmm. The gerund in English does not have the same function as the gerundio in Spanish. Mm-hmm. And another resource I use is SpanishDict.com, as in dictionary. And as everyone can see watching the video, if I put in the word gerundio in this dictionary to translate it, it translates as the present participle, which is the form we use for continuous verbs.
Yes.
So that confirms it right there, what we've been saying. As everyone can see here, the first translation is the present participle, as in this sentence. Can you please read the Spanish one? Mm-hmm. And I'll read the English.
Yeah, el gerundio de jugar es jugando.
Okay, so that's like saying the present participle of jugar is jugando. Mm-hmm. And notice this very interesting second translation. It says it's translating as a gerund, but only when it's referring to English. Mm-hmm. So can do you mind doing that once again, that Spanish one?
En la frase, swimming is an excellent form of exercise. La palabra swimming es un gerundio.
That's it, saying that English word swimming is the gerundio. It's the gerund. Yeah, so that's in English, that is saying in the sentence, swimming is an excellent form of exercise. The word swimming is a gerund.
The way, let me add something here. There are so many rules, right? Like so many terms and names for everything. So I kind of came up for a rule. I kind of came up with a rule that helps summarize everything. Should I cover that now or maybe later as we keep going?
Oh, it's up to you.
Okay, so basically, I'm going to read... Oh my gosh, hold on, I dropped my notes. Give me 1 second.
Bad time to switch over back to the video.
Okay, so number one, if in English I have a word ending in ing at the beginning of a phrase, okay, and it is followed by the verb to be, like, for example, one... Swimming is good for your health. This is a fact. This is something that is true. So we understand we need to use the verb ser in this case for the verb to be. Okay. Swimming is good for your health. Nadar es bueno para tu salud. If I have a verb ending in ing at the beginning of the phrase and it is followed by either ser or estar, I'm going to translate it into Spanish as the infinitive.
Okay.
So I always tell my students, whenever you see a verb ending in ing at the beginning of the phrase, it's always going to be the infinitive. Number two, swimming is helping me improve my health. Nadar está ayudándome a mejorar mi salud. So número uno, nadar es bueno, swimming is good. Número dos, nadar está ayudándome. Swimming is helping me. So same thing with like, I don't know, eating vegetables helps you improve your health, or exercising is good for you. Any phrase like that, I always say that really is going to be the infinitive in Spanish. Now, rule number three is whenever we have a verb ending in ing after the verbs like or prefer or love or hate, like for example, I like swimming, I hate swimming, I prefer swimming, I love swimming, I enjoy swimming, in Spanish you always are going to translate that as the infinitive, like nadar, not nadando.
Okay. See? Yeah.
Yeah. So for those that are learning Spanish, that's how it works. And I used to teach English too. So I would always tell my students, even though you're seeing the ing at the end, it's not going to represent an ongoing continuous action, right? Yeah. Like we see here. Swimming is good. Swimming is helping me. Number three, I like swimming. Number four, the other one is, when we have a preposition, like I am tired of swimming, or thank you for swimming with me, you have a preposition, and after the preposition, you have the ing, it's going to be translated as the infinitive in Spanish as well. And number five is what I said earlier, the gerundio really in Spanish is, I mean, they call the gerundio that, like when it goes at the beginning, nadar es bueno. They call that the gerundio at the beginning, nadar es bueno. But really, when we say I am swimming, estoy nadando, that, as we saw when you shared the screen, they call it the participle.
Yeah.
But I want to note that a lot of teachers, including me, a lot of times we call that the gerundio as well. So in the dictionary, it says that the gerundio is when it goes at the beginning, like swimming is good, nadar es bueno. But we also refer to the continuous action as the gerundio. So, yeah, we're only going to translate it as ando or endo, yendo, when it's a continuous action after the verb start. Like I said, estoy nadando, I am swimming. So those are kind of the rules that I use to explain things to my students that are learning Spanish.
Oh, I think that's a perfect time to say all that. And at one point you said something that ultimately ties into my conclusion of all this. So I took some quick notes and I'll bring up that example you gave earlier at the end of this, starting the sentence with nadar. I'm very glad that you said that. And so now let me share my screen again. Okay. There it is. And pretty much what I'm going to share now on the screen is a lot of what you were just saying. Now, this might be a bold claim, but based on everything we've been talking about, would you consider gerundio to be a false friend? Because it's...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
As yeah. For our learners, a false friend is a word or expression that has a similar form to one in a person's native language, but a different meaning. The example given in Oxford is the English word magazine, and the French word that looks very similar is actually a word translated as shop. So you agree. It's yeah. Okay. Yeah. And
yeah, it is very confusing, and that's exactly what I'm like, that's what I kind of created these rules, because for our students that are English speaking people and are learning Spanish, every time they see a verb ending in ing, they think they have to translate it as like ando or yendo. And that's not the case.
And I think you mentioned this construction specifically. I have a picture here, a meme. It says, well, I'll have you read it.
Gracias por escuchar mi presentación.
And there we have that. We have that preposition followed directly by, I mean, that is the infinitive. And that, I mean, we just don't do that in English. And that's why, let me go down. Well, I'll go to this real quick. That translates to thank you for listening to my presentation. But as we see here, this is often what my students would say. Thank you for listen. They know they know they probably shouldn't use that too before listen, but they still want to just use the verb. This would be the bare or zero infinitive, right? And then, and then they skip two altogether when they know they should. It should be because it's intransitive in English, right? So the correct is listening to my presentation.
Yeah, yeah, that's very interesting. That's always a mistake that everybody's always making. Like I even see advanced Spanish students that they're still sometimes making this mistake. Yeah, because, you know, in Spanish, it is... Gracias por escuchar mi presentación. So yeah, thank you for listen, or even thank you for to listen.
Yeah,
you know, you know, when I was teaching English before to Spanish speaking people, they would say thank you for to listen, because in the dictionary, escuchar is to listen. So yeah.
Yep. And I have two more examples. Gracias por practicar el
distanciamiento. How'd I do on that word?
Sí.
Social. Uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco pies.
Mm-hmm. Seis pies.
No. Seis. Oh, my God. I stopped too soon. And that this is very relevant to our day and age right now.
Sí.
So that's like saying thank you for maintaining or practicing. Thank you for practicing or maintaining social distance of 6 feet. 6 feet. Seis pies.
And something also for your listeners that are learning English, just like I said, just know that if you have a preposition and then you're gonna say the verb, you have to do it like the ing form, like thanks for coming, or you know, like the preposition for will always be followed by ing.
Yeah, you have to think of it as a noun, because a preposition should be followed by a noun or an object. That's why we can say thank you for the coffee, thank you for the pizza. Yeah.
And same thing with like, I like swimming, I like singing, no, I prefer cooking, I enjoy dancing. Like you're saying, you have to think of it as a noun. Like, I like pizza, I like cooking, not I like cook or I like to cook, which you can say I like to cook.
You can, fine, but
but people don't say that way.
I do have, well, no, I've been meaning to do an episode on how technically there is a slight difference in meaning between I like to do something and I like doing something. But to a native speaker, we don't really ever even think about that.
Yes.
That's like thinking too much about grammar. But for grammar nerds, it might be interesting.
Yeah.
So this last one, gracias por no fumar, just to show a negative one here, it's saying thank you for not smoking. And so, again, maybe my students might want to say thank you for not to smoke, or even try to use the negative auxiliary saying thank you for don't smoking or something like that. So remember, everybody, gracias por no fumar is thank you for not smoking. That's how you negate it.
That's the other. That's interesting that you said that, because that you said, sometimes students will say thank you for don't smoke. Remember, you cannot use don't or didn't or doesn't after the preposition. It just goes after the subject, the person that is talking, right? But I remember that used to be a common mistake whenever I was teaching English before.
Yeah, I really think this could be very helpful for a lot of my students. I really appreciate this. And everyone listening, if we're going too fast with anything, please reach out to me. I have the efteachermike@gmail.com email, or my other podcast, gettheword@gmail.com. So I was on Spanish Land recently, your website, SpanishLandSchool.com, and you talk about this, you've covered this. Someone left a message on your website to confirm this, what we've been talking about. So you were talking about the gerundio or gerund, and someone named George, a contributor on your website, said, most people do not know that in English, the verb form used as a noun is the gerund, and that in Spanish, the verb form used as a noun is the infinitive. That's what you were saying, right? And so George agrees, and most people believe that the English gerund is the same as the Spanish gerundio. So George is saying it's not.
Yes.
And I wrote, that is why we can have thank you for listening and gracias por escuchar. Both for and por are prepositions which should be followed by some sort of noun or object. We've already talked about this, but it's always good to repeat some things sometimes. You know, we've we don't need to do this. We've been talking about this. Okay. I want to get even a bit more complicated with it. Mm. If you still have time.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. We may have already touched on this, but let me read this. The gerund hirundio. In English, we use the term present participle as well as gerund, but in Spanish, we only use hirundio. Mm-hmm. So participio always refers to the past participle. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me say that again because I got too excited. Participio always refers to the past participle in Spanish. Mm-hmm.
That is when you say something like, I have learned a lot. Mm. Yo he aprendido mucho. I have studied for 10 years. Yo he estudiado mucho. So now the ending is ado or ido, right? For that construction. But yeah, that's a whole different topic. And people do get confused with those two as well. Because, you know, sometimes, I don't know, you know, well, I guess I was going to say, I don't know why, but I do know why, because this is so complicated.
Yeah.
But a lot of times, like for example, our students that are learning Spanish, if they want to say something like, I have learned, they say, yo he aprendiendo.
You
know,
okay.
Instead of yo he aprendido.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of confuse those two conjugations.
Okay. And I guess it does really make sense because in English, yes, if we say participle, it can refer to that ing present participle mm-hmm. or the past participle. Typically, the past participle ends in an ed. Mm-hmm. In English, right? If it's yes. not in a regular
it's
verb.
Irregular. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Very, very helpful, Sue. Okay. Let's go back to my screen. Just have a bit more to say about all this. I mentioned my episode about the infinitive before, and I'm going to give a little test for everyone. And you can pause the podcast and go listen to episode 11, actually, for clues to this answer, for the correct answer. Which is correct? Number one, I am looking forward to bake a cake. Or number two, I am looking forward to baking a cake. And Andrea, I'm sure you can guess why. Many of my students have trouble figuring out the correct answer here.
Yeah, something very interesting about this too is like, because we say things like, I'm looking forward to the party. I'm looking forward to our meeting.
Yes,
I'm looking
yes.
forward to the course. So that is a noun, mm-hmm. right? So mm-hmm. you have to use a noun. And for those that speak Spanish, when you think of this phrase, it is tengo ganas de o realmente quiero hornear una torta. So you're thinking of it as a verb. That is why they try to say bake, but you have to think of it as a noun.
Mm-hmm.
That is why in English you need to add ing to make it a noun. Just like I'm looking forward to the party. I'm looking forward to the meeting. Those are nouns. So you need to understand in this case, this really is not being a verb, but a noun. So yeah, that is why it has to be baking instead of bake. Yeah.
Those other examples you gave are perfect. Using I'm looking forward to coffee. I'm looking forward mm-hmm. to pizza. Mm-hmm. I'm not as clever as you. I always have to use things in front of me. it's either things in front of me or pizza, because pizza is always on my mind. But
mm-hmm. and you know something like I'm looking forward to in Spanish is tengo ganas de. Tengo ganas de, like I feel like doing something or I'm really expecting something to happen. So our students, right, that learn Spanish because they think like, I'm looking forward to the course, right? They'll say, tengo ganas de el curso. But see, that's the thing that makes it really interesting. In Spanish, so this is very interesting, right? In Spanish, you cannot have this expression follow by a noun. It has to be a verb always, yes.
Okay.
In English, you can say, I'm looking forward to the course. Like, I'm looking forward to start the course. Like, someone is going to take a course with you. It's going to start next week, right? And in the email, they say, I'm looking forward to the course. Or I would say to you, I'm looking forward to our meeting, right? Those are nouns. But in Spanish, you cannot say, tengo ganas de, o quiero mucho nuestra reunión, o la fiesta. You have to have a verb. So, tengo muchas ganas de tener nuestra reunión. Like, I'm looking forward to having our meeting. Tengo muchas ganas de empezar el curso. I'm looking forward to starting the course, not just I'm looking forward to the course. So that is why whoever speaks Spanish or any language that are similar, like your learners, maybe, you know, from Brazil or I don't know, people that speak French, I'm sure it's similar. So they are thinking it has to be a verb. That is why I'm going to say bake instead of baking.
I did not know that. This
this
conversation with you has been very helpful for me too, for my Spanish. Mm-hmm. Okay, so saying tengo ganas del curso would not
it's
be
wrong.
Correct.
No.
Okay, that's very helpful
you
because
have
that
to
is
add a verb. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. And I used this example specifically because of the preposition to, as we talked about before, that is part of the infinitive form, the to infinitive form. So it even more so, it makes sense why someone wants to say to bake. They think that is the whole, all of that is the verb.
Yes, but actually that too is part of the whole I'm looking forward to expression.
Yes, yes.
That's the thing too. A lot of times that too is actually part of what is behind in the phrase, not of what is coming.
Yes.
And then people just put a verb in there and assume that's the infinitive, like you said. Yeah.
That's a great way to explain it. And that's another reason why I wanted to do this. Every educator has their own way of explaining, and I'm willing to admit that the way I explain may not be as clear sometimes.
Like that phrase
others.
That you just said, that phrase that you just said, it works just like this. I'm willing to admit. So someone sees that they think that to admit is the verb, but it's the phrase is I'm willing to. So that too is part of the first phrase, not the verb. Yeah.
Yes, 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 yes. So that's pretty much everything I wanted to say. And here is my conclusion. Here is my takeaway. Don't overthink grammar sometimes. It's okay. You and I, we're educators. It's clear you get excited like I do about picking apart and knowing how it functions. But for some learners, that's just overwhelming, thinking about grammar too much. And I want to say this. Again, gerundio has virtually nothing to do with gerund in Spanish. They're both grammar terms. Don't think of them as a translation. If you decide to learn with grammar and are trying to make sense of English grammar by trying to relate it to your own language, you're going to run into trouble. In other words, sometimes things are just different between the languages, right? Sometimes you will not be able to make that connection between English and your native language. Do you have any other anything else you think we should conclude with?
No, yeah, just to remember kind of like the main rules. Like, again, when you're speaking in English, right, and you're going to say a phrase, you're going to start the phrase with a verb, right?
Yes.
You have to put the ing ending, right? So again, if you want to say, oh yeah, to swim is good for your health. Mm. Remember, because the verb, which is not a verb, really, it's a noun, but you're thinking of it as an action, as something that you do. But because it goes at the beginning of the phrase, you have to put the ing. Also, anytime you have any verb that expresses something that you prefer or like or hate, the verb right next to it has to have the ing, right? Like, don't say, I like swim, or I like to swim, but I like swimming. I prefer reading than writing. I hate cooking, but I love eating, right?
Yeah.
And then again, also, anytime you have a preposition, it has to have the ing ending, the verb that follows that preposition. Like, I'm tired of swimming. I'm tired of working so hard. Thank you for working with me. Mm-hmm. Just know that for those that speak Spanish or a language that is similar, the only time that it would represent the ending ando or endo is when you're talking about a continuous action. And something else that you probably don't know is, look, I say something like, for example, my son is, okay, let's see, I'm gonna say, like, my son is studying math in his room right now. That mm-hmm. is happening right now. Mi hijo está estudiando matemáticas. It's happening right now. Está estudiando. But it's also for something that is happening in general in this present. Like, my son is studying, math in college. That is happening for a long time. It's the same. It doesn't have to be happening right in this very moment. Está estudiando en la universidad. But if I refer to something that is progressively happening, and that is something like going from point A to B and increasing, I'm going to use the verb ir instead of estar. So, for example, I have a pet, a little dog, and I say, oh, my dog is growing healthy. I can say, mi perro va creciendo saludable.
Okay.
Instead of está creciendo, because that action shows that something is increasing over time or is developing over time. Like, someone could say, my English is improving since I started 2 years ago. Mi inglés va mejorando.
Wow.
So,
okay.
In Spanish, you can use the verb to go instead of estar for actions that are developing or increasing and going up in level from point A to B.
Mi inglés va mejorando.
Yes.
Very interesting. Oh, it's so helpful. And you also mentioned your nadar es construction.
Yes.
Which I wrote down in my notes, because that's an example of my mind thinking, I don't want to say that. What, that doesn't seem right.
Yes.
Because I'm overthinking it. What? I mean, this should be a subject noun or something. Not. Mm-hmm. But as you pointed out, that infinitive nadar replaces the subject of the sentence. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, that's just like myself just trying to relate it to English too much. It's just not a good idea.
No.
Well, I really, really appreciate this. This has been a lot of fun. And before I forget, correct me if I'm wrong, but does your aunt also offer Spanish tutoring sessions?
Yes.
I saw that on your website.
Yes. So, like, we have 5 members of our family that work with us.
That's great.
Yeah. So one of them is my aunt, who used to be a lawyer. She is a lawyer, but you know how it is in Colombia and South America. For the last 3 years, she couldn't find a job. And then she studied Spanish. She learned the grammar, and now she's a full-time Spanish instructor for intermediate and advanced students. So yeah, she does 30-minute classes, and also she does 1-hour classes. Those are group classes for 3 students for an hour. Mm-hmm.
How much are the hour sessions?
So if you do 30 minutes one-on-one, that is $8.
That's a great deal.
And it's also $8 for an hour. It's just that every student pays $8, but you pay $8 and then you're there for an hour with 2 more students and the instructor talking about one specific topic. She has like a PowerPoint presentation that she shares on the screen and guides them to talk and use that vocabulary.
$8 US dollars.
Yes, US dollars.
And three students, that's still small enough of a classroom to get a lot of individualized attention.
And the good thing is you're learning from the mistakes that the others are making as she corrects them.
Fantastic. You know, once things slow down here with my house projects, I think I'm going to start doing that.
Yeah, that people love that. I used to do that. And it's great for you as a teacher. It's a lot of fun to just interact with people and they really like that. And it's a great way to learn.
Well, is there anything else that you'd like to say to my learners or anything I can promote that you're doing right now before we end?
Well, if you have anyone that it's also like someone from Brazil that might be learning English and interested in Spanish, or someone that speaks French and wants to learn Spanish too, you can go to SpanishLearnSchool.com. That is our website, SpanishLearnSchool.com. You find everything there. But yeah, we have a membership, which is an ongoing course where every month we do classes and there are lessons for students to do. But also this is for intermediate and advanced students. Mm. If you are a beginner in Spanish, you can email us as well. We have someone that we can recommend. Should I give my email, I guess?
Oh, sure, if you're willing to.
Yeah, so it's easy. It's just Andrea, my name, which is spelled as A-N-D-R-E-A, Andrea at SpanishLearnSchool.com.
Fantastic. Well, thank you again.
Any questions? Write into the podcast, efteachermike@gmail.com. That's efteachermike@gmail.com. Find us on social media. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, facebook.com/theEnglishSessions, twitter.com/theESessions, instagram.com/EnglishSessionsWithMike. Go to our website for much more content, EnglishSessionsWithMike.com. You can help support the English sessions. Go to patreon.com/theEnglishSessions to make a monthly contribution. For only $1 per month, you will have access to the full audio transcript of this episode and much more, including English sessions with students, test preparation, and ad-free versions of all of my podcast episodes and bonus episodes. Go to patreon.com/theEnglishSessions. That's P-A-T-R-E-O-N EON.com/theEnglishSessions and sign up today. Please rate and review The English Sessions on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get podcasts. It really helps us. Go to the website, EnglishSessionsWithMike.com, for a free consultation with me, Mike. Do you want to talk to me about your English? I offer a free 30-minute consultation. That's right, 30 minutes free with me, Mike. After that, I will be available to you for private lessons at a price that is affordable for you. We can discuss what you can afford together. I am here to help. One more thing for all of the advanced learners out there, make sure to subscribe or follow Get the Word with Mike Butler. Yes, Get the Word is now its own podcast. You must search for Get the Word separately now. There are episodes of Get the Word on the new podcast that are not on the English Sessions. The anchor page is anchor.fm/get-the-word. Thank you all for listening. Until next time, this is Mike signing off.
Ahora estás escuchando 10 minutos de Spanish Tips con Andrea Alger de Spanish Land School. En este podcast vas a aprender algo nuevo de manera práctica e interesante en tan solo 10 minutos para que mejores tu gramática y tu comprensión y así puedas pensar y hablar como nativo. ¡Vamos, aprendamos juntos!
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
You remember that sound? Yeah, you do. The 1990s. It was fun. Lots of fun music, good times, bookended by pop bands. And right in the middle, we got a little grungy. So many artists came and went and left us wondering, what are they doing now? We know what Marky Mark ended up doing, but what about the rest of the funky bunch? Alanis Morissette had a pop career before she made it big with Jagged Little Pill. The KLF, an EDM band from England, got Tammy Wynette to sing on one of their tunes. All kinds of crazy stuff happened, and we're going to talk to you about it with interviews with some of the biggest stars of the 90s on Dope Nostalgia, the podcast. I'm Naomi Carmack, and I'm your host. Check us out on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, anywhere you get your podcasts. And look us up on the internet at dopenostalgia.com.
It's Mike, your host of Get the Word, an etymology podcast for word nerds. We'll talk about the history and origin of words in English. If you're coming over from the English Sessions, well, then I'll give you an even bigger welcome, loyal listener. The English Sessions is the podcast I've been doing for a while now for English learners, and is where Get the Word was first conceived.
I decided to make Get the Word its own podcast, since I started to realize I was making content more for native speakers with these etymology episodes, which seemed to warrant its own feed. Don't worry, though. For those of you who are English learners, there will still be transcripts of the episodes on the website. Look for details in the show notes. Get the Word, an etymology podcast for word nerds. Available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts. Hello, everyone. Mike here. I want to pause for a moment to talk about how you can help the English sessions to continue. If you'd like to support the English sessions, then please go to anchor.fm/theEnglishSessions. There, you can click on the support button and make a monthly contribution to the English sessions to keep this podcast going. You can support the English sessions for less than $1. Every bit helps. Also, remember, go to www.englishsessionswithmike.com if you are interested in private lessons with me, Mike. Thank you all for supporting this podcast.
Dead Roses Podcast is a podcast as unusual as you. We share stories from listeners and friends that are unusual, unnatural, or even paranormal. Check out Dead Roses Podcast wherever you listen to podcasts and submit your story to deadrosespodcast@gmail.com.